Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and hello, everyone. Welcome to another hour of Tribal Wisdom. I am your host, Cynthia Williamson of Bridal Tribe, and we are so happy to be back on the air with everyone. I was really surprised to get messages that people were missing the show. I really want to thank you guys for all your support and to give us a call back into action to bring on guests and to bring up more topics on marriage and love and weddings and so on. I do want to say happy Wedding Wednesday, of course, to all of our Twitter friends and all of our Facebook friends. It is Wedding Wednesday, and we're always happy to wish you that. And I want to say a happy birthday to Ike Brown. She is a Facebook friend and a wonderful marriage, or rather relationship counselor on Facebook. I'm going to put her link in the event tonight for you to check her out and follow her. She is has been such a wonderful help in everything that we've been doing pertaining to the magazine and pertaining to helping couples. So happy birthday to you, Ike. We love you. And as you know or may not know, we had the absolute privilege of broadcasting live this past Sunday at the Tallamore Country Club in Pennsylvania with the Truly Wed Wives. They had a wonderful love expo, the Marriage on Fire Love Expo, and I can guarantee you that after it was finished, I'm sure that there are going to be a lot of marriages that are on fire or reignited back into fire with all the information that was given out. We met some wonderful vendors. And you know what? Let me not forget to thank my co-hosts, that they, Kamara Afi Coxum of Kamara Afi Jewelry and Audrey Jackson of the Lethe Florence Foundation. I do hope, I see that one of them is on. In fact, I'm going to bring her in so that we can introduce her and she can say hi. Hey, fellow co-host.
Hey, girl. How are you?
I'm good. How you doing?
I'm blessed.
I was just telling everyone that you were my co-host on Sunday. And, of course, you are the founder of the Lethe Florence Foundation. And why don't you tell us a little bit about the Lethe Florence Foundation for Support Network for Women in Diverse Communities. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I started this in honor of my grandmother, who was predominantly a stay-at-home mom. When she came to this country, she worked, but predominantly a stay-at-home mom. But she owned property. She did business as well as managed her family. So in her honor, when I lost her about 2 years ago, I decided to do this, working with women who had a desire to start their own business. You know, something you have in your kitchen, in your living room, but you want to take it somewhere. Something you do on a regular basis, but you want to take it up a notch. Mm-hmm. And then just, again, working with families. So, you know, we've done some things together. We're hosting events that, you know, give couples an opportunity for their date night, as well as events that also help families heal and to kind of look at the dynamics, you know, within their day-to-day living.
Nice. Now, you so graciously came with me on Sunday.
I was kidnapped.
You don't have to tell that. You don't have to tell that part. I'm just saying. But you so graciously were kidnapped on Sunday and joined us for the Marriage on Fire event. And they said this is going to be an annual thing. I can't wait for next year.
My goodness, definitely.
Deirdre Clark Rousseau and Jocelyn Thorpe were the individuals who really pulled this event together. Why don't you tell? Did this impact you at all?
Well, definitely. Well, you know our little story, but
yes,
absolutely. Yes. You know, we were sent there for a personal work. So the personal work was done. It was, as an entrepreneur, it was really wonderful to see other female entrepreneurs making it work, as well as other female entrepreneurs who were also married. So they were kind of doing that balancing act. And just to see couples you know, sitting with each other, sitting next to each other, engaging each other, and willing to kind of do kind of cutesy-wootsy couple activities, some of the things that they were asked to do, was really a blessing. And each speaker just said something that was important. You know, that also impacted, that I could take something away from, let's put it that way, you know, take away something from.
True, very true. And with that, I don't know what just happened to Deirdre. I was just about to pull her into the conversation, and she disappeared on me. Deirdre, where are you? Okay, I think I just see her. I see her now. I'm going to bring in one of the founders right now, Deirdre Clark-Rousseau, to introduce herself. You know her from Together Marriages as well, but... I've had the pleasure of meeting her, and I want you to have that pleasure as well. Let me bring her right in. Deirdre, are you there?
Yes. Hi, Cynthia. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How you doing?
I'm good. Blessed. Can't complain.
Good, good. I was just telling everybody what an awesome event you guys put together, this Marriage on Fire Love Expo, and the expo is exactly what it was, and that you said that it's going to be an annual event. Tell us how this came about. How did you decide to pull together this Marriage on Fire Expo? Why did you do it? And tell us your thoughts on all of it.
Okay. Well, Jocelyn, is Jocelyn on?
You know what? I don't know the last four digits of her telephone number. You know the last
9744.
Yes, I see her. I'm going to bring her in as well. Jocelyn,
okay,
I'm coming. Don't move. Are you there, Jocelyn?
Yes, I am.
Yay.
Okay.
Gang's all here. Let's get to it.
Hey, ladies.
Hello. Hi.
Enjoyed your event. Just was blessed by it.
Thank you so much. Amen, amen.
Ladies,
well,
talk
actually,
to me about it.
Jocelyn is an event planner, and she's a realtor. I am a travel agent, and I have a marriage ministry along with my husband. So we put all four of the entities together and came up with Truly Well Wives, because both of us are very passionate about helping married couples, and she brought her expertise, and then I brought mine, and then we just put it all together, and we have two sets of pastoring couples, and three of them are doctors, and one of them is an attorney. And then Gail, she has Bring Sexy Back to Marriage, which we are doing a Wives and Wives to Be conference with her in October. So that's how it all came to be. Jocelyn and I, we brainstormed, you know, we put our thoughts together, and we just came up to have this event, and God just did all the rest.
Indeed he did. Indeed he did. And actually, I also want to bring in, because I see that my other co-host for Sunday has just come in, so I'm going to also bring her in to say hi to everyone.
Okay,
Kamara, great. Is that you? Are you there?
I'm here. Hi, everybody.
Hey, Kamara.
Hi. How you doing?
Great.
I'm good.
Great. All right. So Deirdre was saying that that one is an event planner, and of course, Deirdre has her marriage ministry. And continue. What else were you telling us?
Well, we just decided. I mentor wives. Jocelyn, she does events such as weddings, vow renewals, and things like that. So we, as talking to wives, we don't talk to the husbands as much, because we can really identify with the wives. But our husbands do talk to the husbands. And talking to the wives, we found that there was a need for more romance. And, of course, we all know that infidelity is running rampant in marriages. So we came up with thought process of romance concierge, where we offer a service to people who don't know what to do in their marriage. Because some people just don't know what to do. They don't have any idea. They don't know exactly what to do to maintain or to even go back to where they first started. And date night is very important. So, Jocelyn and I, that's where we came up with the concept.
Mm-hmm.
Did you say romance concierge?
Yes.
I love it.
Yes.
Taking notes, girl, taking notes.
Yes.
Yeah, it does seem like whenever we're talking to Deirdre and anything that she's got going on, be ready with pencil and paper and pen and marker and board and, you know, and everything, because they're going to definitely drop some nuggets of wisdom. And I think that what you guys are doing is so phenomenal because you were able to include and incorporate couples and not just separating the men from the women, but in order to really share, the couples that were there who were teaching, the speakers, were there really dropping nuggets of wisdom about attitude, about speaking wisdom, love, peace. I mean, one of the things that really got me was when they started talking about unconditional respect, to respect unconditionally.
Is that Gamora?
That was definitely a hot topic on, I don't know about anybody else's car ride home, but our car ride home was jumping on that topic about unconditional respect when it comes to your significant other.
Yeah.
Did you guys know what the speakers were going to talk about and you know what they were going to do to us?
No, actually, we kind of knew because we know their teaching and preaching style, but word for word, we really didn't know what they were going to do, but we knew that it would get across, and we knew that people would walk away with something. They wouldn't walk away empty. Jocelyn is one of the event planners for our marriage ministry at our church, mm-hmm. and she does a lot of events that's planned as far as the date night. So it's a lot of interaction from the couples. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, some where it starts as a group thing, and then the couples can also do different things on their own. But we knew that they was coming, but we didn't know where, how, or we knew who.
Right.
We knew it would be impactful. Yeah, we definitely knew that. Yeah.
And it was. I would love for you guys, and actually, Jocelyn, why don't you bring us in with what you took away from this event that you guys put together? From after listening to those speakers, what did you take away from this for your marriage, for your relationship, and then for yourself?
Well, actually, like Deidre already said, I am familiar with the speakers, and we were kind of busy at the event. But again, I know their methods. Like we're familiar with them. That's why we had them speak, because we knew that they were impactful. So they have really been sewing into me, probably at least for the last 10 years. So,
ooh.
Yeah. So actually, two of the speakers that were there, they started the marriage ministry at our church, and they went on to start to plant their own church. But they have been mentored us. So we kind of like they have been, like I said, sewing into me and sewing into my marriage for some time now. And our bishop, of course, he does on a regular basis. So from that event on Sunday, like I said, I was so busy, and I have to listen to. Go on your website and listen to what Pastor Shabelta spoke about on Sunday, so that I can actually hear it and, you know, allow
because
it to
you
meditate.
Were running around.
Right, you were running around.
You were a busy lady.
Right. Right. Well, but I do know. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, what were you saying, Rachel?
And I was going to say, well, you know what? Then just tell us, because I think that a lot of people don't necessarily understand how important it is to have that kind of support system in your marriage or in even engaged into marriage.
Yes.
How important would you say it is, the way that these people have been sewing into your life for the past 10 years? Talk to me about the importance of that, of the marriage ministry.
Oh, it's really important because I know that my husband and I, we've been through our own storms, and they helped us to, you know, the nugget that they put into us. Just reinforcing that I'm supposed to be my husband's helpmate, so that I can recognize my role as a wife and not get it twisted. You know, sometimes we might feel like if the husband is not doing what he's supposed to do, then we need to take charge in certain areas. But that's not God's way. So they teach us like different methods to empower our husbands so that they feel like the man of the house, that they're supposed to be the king of our house. So just different things like that has really helped me. Because I know I'm very, you know, in my own right, I'm very outspoken, but I had to learn how to tailor it and use it to benefit my husband so that he could leave the house. So just different things like that, you know, just teaching us how to be respectful wives, you know, and you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
how to recognize the strength of our husbands and help build that strength, you know.
I think you used the perfect word when you said to tailor ourselves to be good wives.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. I see that we have some other callers on the line. Ladies, I'm going to bring them in, too. I don't know who is who just yet. I'm bringing in last four digits, 0956. When you come on, just introduce yourself. Tell us who you are, and we'll take it from there. You are on Tribal Wisdom. Hello.
Good evening. This is Stephanie. How are you?
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi, good evening, everyone. I had the distinct pleasure and honor of being present at the event on Sunday as a vendor for my business, Wedding Kids. And what I thought was going to be strictly a business and networking opportunity turned out to be so, so much more. And talk about the steps of a righteous man ordered by the Lord. How Deidre came to find me was purely an act of faith because she found me on Wedding Wire, and I was nervous about going live on Wedding Wire with a new business, and, you know, I don't have a partner or anything. It's just me and my partner, my life partner, and the fact that Deidre and I connected on such a great level and that she took an opportunity on my business to bring me in as a vendor, but just to be present was just an awesome, awesome blessing, not just for the business side of things, but just for me personally. I had the pleasure of being there with my fiance, who was doing photography there. And so not only were we getting fed individually, we were getting fed as a couple on top of the networking in the business. So that's an opportunity that only God could set up. And I was very, very, very happy to be there. And I haven't met Jocelyn one-on-one formally yet, but I think that it's awesome that Jocelyn and Deidre lend themselves to be used in such a great way. And there were so many things that were said by Pastor Gregory and Shavelta Smith and other speakers, but it was, like I said, I'm still on a natural high from the event. I'm still overflowing.
Well, can you tell us if there was any one thing that you took away from what some of the speakers were saying? Was there one thing or two things that really, you know, stayed with you?
One thing, overall, in a nutshell, because I have a lot of debate about women's roles as wives, because, you know, this will be my second marriage, and I'm, you know, after coming out of a very, I would say that was a learning experience, and oftentimes, I hate to say it, but in our culture, women kind of don't show the support for other women who are supporting their man or supporting their husband. You know, it's always that terminology you hear. Oh, you're just letting him walk all over you. Oh, you're the submission. You know, women aren't embracing the act of submission. And to be in a room with women who were individually sound and strong in their faith, but also very comfortable with being submissive to their husbands and empowering their husbands and being okay with that and being surrounded with other women who were like-minded in that same setting is what I took away from it, because everything that I knew and everything that I've been taught and everything that I've read in the Bible, all of that was just validated, and it was just nice to see a group of women who were sharing their stories and being transparent, and then they really kept it real and they spoke on a level where they could meet people actually where they were at. So that's what I took away from it, that, you know, I'm on the right track. I had the right mindset about what a wife is supposed to be. And I had the right mindset before, but it's truly, truly validated. And there's a lot of scripture to back it up. And you're able to not only just be a wife in your home and be supportive of your mate, but you're also still able to be an entrepreneur and step out in faith and do other things and have a nice balance with that. And all of those women, they had the strength that they needed, but they had the submission also. So they knew how to be what they needed to be in their home, but they also knew how to carry their weight out in the world.
Indeed.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Oh, wow. Somebody was going to say something. Nice. Who was that?
Cynthia?
Yeah.
One of the things I'm hearing, and I don't know if I said it before, but it's, again, that whole piece of where, again, the women were a unit, a part of the unit, but they also were able to function outside of the unit as individuals doing their businesses.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the revelation is kind of dawning on me now that, you know, that Proverbs 31 woman comes to fruition when we're doing the right things in our marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, it was a mother talking to her son what to look for. But it seems now maybe, you know, that happens if we're doing marriage right, if we're doing marriage effectively, we're submitting and doing
right.
all the things and supporting and our big phrase, you know, unconditionally respecting and loving.
Yeah.
Then we're able to do business outside of that, because that then gives our husband validation in the community
mm-hmm.
as well as ourselves.
Right.
So I
right.
just think
so I guess,
it's a really interesting, you know, combination.
Mm-hmm. Blessed in the home and blessed outside the home too.
There you go.
There
okay.
You
all right. Stephanie,
like
I'm
that.
Gonna put you you like that. Stephanie, mm-hmm. I'm gonna put you on hold for a second because I see that there's some other people who are also holding to come on and have something to say. And before I bring them in, I just wanna let you guys know, if you're listening by internet, you can call in and make a comment. Or if you have a question for any of the ladies who are on the line, you just let me know. The number is 347-996-3160. Press the number 1 if you have a question or a comment for any of these ladies. And if you just want to listen, you can listen too. And just so you know, we have on the line Jocelyn Thorpe, who is an event planner, who is part of the duo that put the Marriage on Fire Love Expo together. We have Deirdre Clark Rousseau as well. We have my two wonderful co-hosts, Kamara Afi and Audrey Jackson. And let's see who else we got on here. We're going to bring them in. And then I'm definitely going to talk to my girls, because Kamara, I know I'm going to need to hear some stuff from you soon. But I'm going to let
problem.
You sit back.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to bring in this number ending in 9621. Please just introduce yourself and let us know who you are. You are on the air with Tribal Wisdom.
Hi, Cynthia. It's Alisa and Eric from Alisa's Bridal Boutique.
Hi,
hey, Alisa and Eric.
Oh, well, ladies. How you guys doing tonight?
Everybody's great. Now, just so you know, Alisa, to our listeners, Alisa has a bridal boutique in Pennsylvania. In fact, you tell us who you are. I don't have to do it. You tell us who you are.
Yes, we're located. It's called Alisa's Bridal Boutique, and we're located in the northwest section of Philadelphia, East Mount Airy, at 7104 Germantown Avenue. And we specialize in bridal gowns, bridesmaids' gowns and special occasion gowns, accessories, jewelry, things of that nature. Everything that a bride needs on her wedding day to look her best.
Yes.
That's us.
Now, before I even ask you what you came away with from this expo, I have to tell our listeners what a small world this event was. It came to be. Because Alisa came over to our table and introduced herself, and we had a nice chat, and I walked away from the table and came back. We were also tweeting the event, Marriage on Fire, and I got this message from another Alisa that I know that said, wait a minute, are you at this event? And I said, yeah. She said, you know, my mother's there too. And she has the I'm like, wait a minute, I've just talked to your mom. It was amazing. Now, Alisa's daughter sang at one of my previous events about 2 years ago, and look what happened where I'm meeting her mother this Sunday.
It's a small world.
It is a small world. And thank God I was on my best behavior, you know, on Sunday. So why don't you tell us how you and Deirdre came to talk and you ended up at this event and what you took away from it?
Okay. Deirdre and I met each other because someone, and I believe her name was Cynthia, told Deirdre that, you know, there was an African-American woman who had opened up a bridal salon in the Northwest section and that she needed to get over there and meet her and talk to her and perhaps we could, you know, get together and, you know, participate in Deirdre's event. And, you know, she came into the shop, and I have to say that she was just a blessing to me on that day because prior to her walking into the shop, I had just been in prayer about a lot of things. And when she walked into the shop and she was just so open, she was friendly, and everything that she said to me, it was almost like, you know what, I'm here to tell you that there are opportunities for you. You know, we can collaborate. We can work together. Don't be discouraged, you know, because, you know, there are people out here that want to help you. There are people out here that want to network. And so I just walked away feeling like, you know what, I was just blessed by meeting her. And if this event turned out half as well as I had hoped and prayed for, then, you know, that would just be another blessing on top of meeting her. So I went home and I told my husband about her and that I had just met this wonderful person. You know, we talked about it, and I was just so encouraged. I was, you know, anxious. I was encouraged. I was like, you know, this is exactly what I need. I need to connect to people who want to do things, people who are interested in moving forward as opposed to, you know, just being stagnant. So I was encouraged by meeting Deirdre.
Wonderful, wonderful. Amen. Now, at this event, did you say amen? Now, at this event, there were, again, some wonderful speakers. They had some wonderful activities, a couple activities that were going on. And everyone pretty much connected with at least one or two different things. Can you tell us what you and your husband connected with when it came to the speakers? What did you hear that really made an impact on you, or was it the exercises? Or, you know, what was said that really pulled you into this event?
Well, you know what? I believe that different things were said and touched us differently. So I'm going to give him an opportunity to explain, you know, what it was that, you know, impacted him first, and then I'll give you an explanation of, you know, how I felt.
Good evening once again, ladies. I can't say that it was one thing in particular that impacted me more than another. I just thought that it was just a blessing of God to just be around a group of people who wanted to strengthen their marriage, who wanted to keep it fresh, who wanted to keep it alive, and were open to the exercises that the speakers had. I thought that everyone seemed very sincere and in their marriage and wanting to keep their marriage strong and fresh. And for me, that was a breath of fresh air because, you know, I work at a hospital, and, like, you know, you hear so many different things. And, you know, I go to work, I'm excited about my wife and the things that I want to do for her. But I don't always hear that. It's like, you know, with some people, it gets kind of humdrum. Well, we've been married for so long, so we don't have to do X, Y, and Z. But I feel like once it gets to that point, then it's like, you know, you're losing something, you're missing something, because I feel like you got to get back to the thing that got you guys together, no matter what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just encouraged on a whole just to be there, and I just want to piggyback off something that my wife said. Deirdre was just so wonderful. I gotta share this real quick. The first day that she came to the shop, I was in and I was doing some errands for my wife in the shop, and so she was leaving out. And so she comes up and she said, is this Elisa Brown? I said, yes, it is. So I said, who are you? You know, so I didn't, you know, feel like I had any kind of particular look or demeanor on my face. So she said, well, is she any? I said, well, yes. So she went there, she talked to my wife. So my wife comes home and she said, The young lady who came in the store, she said, "You looked at her like, what you want with my wife?" And I honestly wasn't, you know, trying to look that way. But I guess it's just I had just a natural protection or just a, you know, covering over Lisa. But, you know, having that to say, you know, Deidre just has a warm spirit in this, and she's honest, and she's just wants to help people. And it's like, for me, I embrace that because I get attracted to spirits. That's why I, you know, fell in love with my wife. So, I mean, she was just a warm and friendly spirit. So, and it was nice to be around other people at this event who felt the same way. You know, so, but again, I can't say it was anything in particular that one speaker said that, you know, encouraged me more than the other. I just felt like everybody was just, it was just a positive vibe. The rain didn't stop anybody, and we were just, you know, blessed by God to be there.
Yeah. Amen.
All right. All right.
Amen.
Alisa.
Well, you all
come
like angels. All right. I think for me, number one, I have to start from the beginning and just explain a little bit about myself and our relationship. Prior to meeting my husband, I wasn't accustomed to praying together, you know, praying with somebody and just being as close as two people could possibly be. You know, when you share a space, you share a home, you know, this person sees you at your best and at your absolute worst. You know, you have to learn how to humble yourself. You know, there are times when, you know, you don't want to be on Front Street and up front about a lot of things that you can't hide it. You know what I mean? You are completely open when you're married. So that in itself was an adjustment for me. So being at the expo and listening to the speakers, you know, I realized a few things about our relationship. I realized that where we started at in the beginning, you know, when you first get married, you have a perception of what marriage is supposed to be and what it's going to be like. The reality doesn't set in until you get married. And then you realize that there are a lot of things about yourself that you need to change. You know, in order to be in a relationship with this person, you know, some of the things that you used to do just don't work anymore. You know, you have to grow in some areas. And, you know, you have to self-assess, you know, all the time. So I heard the speaker, Gail, she talked about the tongue and how the tongue could be very sharp and how as women, sometimes we can just cut somebody down with our words. And I thought about that, and I just remembered a time in my life where I remember somebody saying to me, and I can't remember who said it, but somebody said, "Girl, you can be hard on a man." And I was just like, you know, I didn't really think I was hard on anybody. I knew I was I was brutally honest sometimes, but I didn't think I was being hard on anybody. But I realized what she meant. And I realized that in my relationship, in my marriage, that, you know, I had made some great strides, because to truly love someone is to never really want to hurt that person. You know, to hurt them, it hurts you. And I realized that with my husband, you know, I had, you know, my tongue, I had softened my tongue. And it was a lot of times that, you know, I may be thinking something, but I dare not let it come out of my mouth, because now I'm consciously aware of what it is I'm saying, how it's going to impact him, what, you know, the repercussions of, you know, my words are going to be. And I'm constantly thinking about that. So, you know, I work hard, and it is work. And I agree with Gail when she said, you know, it's work. You have to work at it. You have to be aware of what it is you're saying. And you can't let anger get in the way, because, you know, you're married to someone for life. You're going to get angry at times. You're going to have disagreements. He's going to do things that I don't agree with, and they're going to upset me. I'm going to do things that he doesn't agree with, and it's going to upset him.
but it's no reason for me to tear him down.
Mm-hmm,
there's no
mm-hmm.
reason for him to tear me down.
Right.
Because, you know, the thought is, this is my life partner. I am not with this man for the next, you know, couple of years. No, I'm trying to make it with this man for life. So I have to think about that all the time. You know what I mean? I have to I have to temper my tongue and my thoughts because, you know, your thoughts become your actions and your actions become your words or something like that. But, you know, I'm very much aware now of the power of my tongue and the power of words and how words can just hurt. You know, and cut people down. So I walked away from that feeling like, you know what? I can see some progress in my life. I can see some progress in my relationship with Eric. And I'm happy that we're moving in the right direction. And, you know, we took notes. You know, we laughed at some of the things they said. You know, and I think that to ourselves, we quietly nodded our head to some of the things that were said.
Right.
You know what I mean? You know, those
things
that they said, especially when they said, don't look at your mate. You know, she said, don't look at him.
Right.
You know, you just tell yourself inside, oh, that's me, or if that's not me. You know, so I think that, but one of the things I have to say is that I'm blessed that my husband is a diehard romantic guy. You know what I mean? So when Gail was talking about how you could send, like, texts and you should do little notes and the flowers, blessed because that's who he is. And I'm thinking to myself, well, she's telling the women that they have to be this, but, you know, in our relationship, he is that person. You know what I mean?
Right.
But I realized at that point in time that it wasn't enough for him to just be that person. It needs to be reciprocated.
Right, right.
You know, I had to think about how it would feel if I constantly sent him texts and I constantly brought him flowers and it never got reciprocated. I mean, what would I feel?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
well,
how, yeah.
I like what you're saying, especially the one of the first things you said was about being transparent. And I think that one of the speakers called it naked and unashamed, that we have to be naked and unashamed, not just physically, but as emotionally as well, with one another. So I definitely completely understand what you're saying, especially, again, about our tongues, because I know me. I think I said it at the event. I'm a sharpshooter, so I can take people out in one shot. I like that that's what you took away with your husband, and your husband as well loved the whole event. Now, I do want to stop again and give out the number, because I do see a couple of callers, and I'm not sure whether or not you want to have something to say. The number is 347-996-3160, and if you want to make a comment or you have a question or you want to talk to any of the ladies that are on the line right now, you have to press the number 1 to let us know that you want to be on the air. Otherwise, you are fine just, you know, right where you are listening. So moving right along, and I'm going to bring Stephanie back in, because I get the feeling she's got some stuff to say on this. But,
amen. This is Deidre, and
yes,
I just wanted to let you know that Stephanie is the one that told me about Alyssa.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Stephanie. I'm sorry. I got your name wrong. I'm sorry.
That's okay. That was what I told you, that God orchestrated the whole thing. I was riding by the shop a couple of days before I met Deidre, and I think maybe 5 days, and we used to live around the corner. And when I said, hold up, you know, because with the wedding kids thing, I'm always looking. And I saw the bridal dress jumped out, and your daughter said she'll be here on Saturday. But I said, okay, I'm going to come back. She'll be there coming too. But I didn't get to go back. But I met Deidre like maybe 2 days later, 2 or 3 days later.
Mm-hmm.
And Deidre and I were talking, and I told her about the shop. And Deidre, she wastes no time.
No, she doesn't.
She really didn't, and I thank you, Stephanie.
Oh, you
right, no, she
like I said, it wasn't us. You know, we were just all we're just doing what we're supposed to do and being where we're supposed to be,
yes,
so that things can happen the way they're supposed to happen.
Indeed.
I really,
indeed,
really believe that. And I just now, want to take you back on what, go ahead.
No, finish.
On what Alisa said about life partner. Mm-hmm. And today I received a distressing call from someone about her marriage. And that's one of the things I took away too, just changing your mindset about when you get married. It is supposed to be for life. And when you think about a life partner, when you think about changes that you make that are supposed to be for the rest of your life, it changes your mindset, it changes your approach, your seriousness about what you're doing. And like Alisa said, when you kind of sit back and think about it, wait a minute, this is the person I'm supposed to be with for the rest of my life. I need to take a different approach. Mm-hmm. And I think I wanted to just say that was a very, very good point that was made right there in the room. And I think everybody, whether we were working, whether we were walking, I bet you even the people who were passing the hors d'oeuvre were affected by the spirit that was in the room.
Mm-hmm. Now, Deirdre, there were two exercises that were very interesting that day. One was, I don't know exactly what was happening about that one couple's exercise where they had to touch hands. Could you tell me what that was? I don't know if you could tell me, but I know I missed a little bit of it. What was that particular exercise?
Well, that was one of my pastors, Dr. Cleo. They've been my mentors for over 20 years. When I met her and Bishop Townsend, we all came from the same home church. They were lay people. So just to watch them over 20 years become doctors, and they both are fitness instructors, and that she's a fitness instructor, and that's where that came from. And she applied it towards marriage, so it just all fit in. It just all came together. So everybody thought they were doing one thing, and then she was like, do it with your mate. And I'm like, wow, like, you know. I never thought that would happen. And then, of course, my husband was all the way across the room, so I was standing there looking crazy like I ain't got no mate. But then he did work his way across over the, you know, over the room, you know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But that's
it was
where
definitely
that came from, her being a fitness instructor, yeah.
Okay.
But she
now
also, at some point, somebody said, go home and do it without your clothes on.
Oh, I missed that part.
Right before the day said, do it at home.
We haven't
done it, but, you know, I'm storing up. Next month is our 15th anniversary, my husband and I. So, you know, Jocelyn and I went to a conference in January in Maryland. Gail, it's called Bringing Sexy Back to the Marriage. And, honey, mm-hmm. we learned so many tricks. And on our anniversary, I just stored everything up, and that's something else that I added to it, which I clearly was saying.
Right,
so it's just that, no, you just take a little from every place, and then you just do it. You know, you just got to do what you got to do to keep your marriage going.
Right, now, who's
fresh,
that talking?
Yeah.
Make sure you introduce yourself again when you start speaking, because I want everyone to know who is speaking and who to blame when somebody says something a little out of order. So... Now, I'm going to stop one more time to say I do see that we have another caller, the number ending in 3957. I'm going to bring you in a second, so do not hang up. We're going to come to you in a second. I want to get back to the other exercise that I found very interesting, which actually Alisa corrected me on today, that you're supposed to write down every single day for 30 days, you're supposed to write down something nice about your spouse, and then at the end of 30 days present it to them. Either in a journal or a scrapbook or something like that. Have any of you started doing this yet?
Question, Audrey here. Well, we don't.
Okay.
So we don't have to speak it daily. We just have to write it daily.
That's what
you know.
Alisa
what that was my understanding. Well, actually, it's on her website, Gail Croder. She is the founder of Bringing Sexy Back to the Marriage. And the OSW stands for One Sexy Wife.
Mm, all
right. So, right. So the instructions are, I haven't done it yet because I plan on, as I stated, I plan on doing it leading up to our 15th anniversary. So I haven't done it yet. So I'm going to do it 30 days prior to that. But all the instructions is on her website. Let me tell you, she is just so creative. It's like, ooh, where did
I come
from?
I know. We definitely have to get her on the show. I'm sending her emails now to see if she can spend some or schedule something with me this month to do a Bringing Sexy Back to the Marriage, and then she can definitely tell us about each exercise and where she's coming from with all of those exercises. She was a powerful speaker, because I believe it was her who said that we should wake up daily and say that when God made me, he truly made something special. Was that her?
Yes, it is.
And I don't know if you ladies are doing that. Are you guys doing that? Are you participating in that part at least?
Yes.
For the 30 days?
Absolutely. No, not the 30 days. For your rest of your life. She said you have to wake up, and when you go into wherever in the bathroom, you have to look in the mirror and say, when God made me, he truly made something special.
Oh, okay.
Well, I need to do that.
So that was three exercises, and that was the third one thus far.
Yes. Now, I'm going to bring in this next caller. Phone number ending in 3957. Just introduce yourself. Let us know who you are, and we'll take it from there. You are on the air with Tribal Wisdom.
Hi, ladies. It's Cynthia. So I was a vendor at the event. I was promoting my business, Miss Beauty Nisa's Makeup Artistry.
Hi, Cynthia.
Hi, ladies. I'm so excited to be on with you guys. I was sitting here listening to everybody, you know, talk about what they took out of the event. And I have to say that I'm completely on the same, whole thing with what Stephanie said about how, you know, I thought I was coming there as well, you know, just handling business, you know, going to talk to some, you know, newlyweds or maybe some people engaged, getting married, talking about makeup, you know, hey, hire me, hello, be your makeup artist. But I got a lot more than what I bargained for. I am not married, but I have been in a really great relationship for 3 years. But unfortunately, I have had a lot of divorces in my family. And so when you talk about marriage, I really don't, you know, I'm honestly a little afraid of it. So I got a lot out of the speakers and things that they was talking about, how to be a great wife and, you know, how to keep your marriage alive. And Gail, her speech probably is what hit me the most. She brought up about how we as women can be mouthy and, you know, we can be so quick to, you know, have expectations of men that we wouldn't want someone to expect of ourselves. And that was something that really had me thinking once the event was over. On my way home, I did a lot of thinking about it, and, you know, and I just really, really want to, you know, God to, you know, allow me to be that wife that, you know, I should be. And, you know, later on, what, you know, I do want to get married later on, I want to be able to be that great wife. So I think that was the main thing I got out of it. But, you know, I do want to be married one day, but I do think right now, you know, I am a little scared and, you mm-hmm. know, I have my reservations about marriage. But, you know, I think that just has to do with a lot with my family and things that have happened in my past. My parents were married for 30 years, and they just divorced 3 years ago. So that's something that I'm actually still dealing with. And, you know, you would think with me being 27, like, hey, you can get over it, you know. But it's really difficult still, you know. I have step-parents now, and it's something I'm still working through. I have great step-parents. It's just, you know, something I'm still not used to, you know.
Right.
But you know, I definitely think it was God's plan for me to be there on Sunday, because I went in there with a whole business mind of, you know, offering these wonderful bridal packages to these women. I think God was like, no, you know, we're not talking business today. I need you to sit down. I need you to listen. And I really needed that. I definitely didn't see it coming. I know when I first signed up to do the event, you know, I saw there was going to be these great speakers there, and I'm thinking, oh, they're going to have a little piece of advice for, you know, the couples, and that's going to be it. But I really got a sermon. And, you know.
Wow, that's awesome.
And I needed that. I really did. I really did need that because, you know, like I said before, I am a little afraid of marriage, and I want to be married one day, but I think I just keep thinking, oh, my goodness, my aunt's been divorced, my mom and dad have been divorced, I've had a couple of cousins that's been divorced, and I'm just thinking, oh, my God, I don't want that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, but Sunday was really a blessing. Like, personally, it really, you know, really, really hit me hard. So I'm just glad I was there. And, you know, even on the business side, it was great. I made some wonderful connections with you, Cynthia, you know, and talked to a lot of the other vendors. And I'm just glad that I was there. I'm glad that, you know, I, you know, abided by the, you know, what God wanted me to do when I was there. And it was just really awesome.
Well, now you touched on something that now I have to bring other people in. Now, to our callers, if you're listening, there are three single ladies on this call. The rest are married ladies. So
don't forget about Eric.
Oh, okay, and there's a single man. There might be
two. A married
man. He's married.
Wait.
And plus, my husband is all around, too, so it's just more than one. Sorry, I put you on the list.
Let me just keep
he is married, Cynthia.
Oh, I'm going to correct it right now. Eric is
you may lose
Alisa's
brother, Cynthia.
Wife. Okay, Eric is Alisa's husband. The single person that I was speaking about was Stephanie's husband. That was Stephanie's fiancé. That's the single male that I was speaking of. So, Let me correct everything right now because I am not trying to get in trouble with
anybody. I
want
to hear from you.
So actually, there are four single ladies on this call tonight, and I want to talk to you guys, myself included. And let's start with Kamara because I'm itching to hear what you came away with. Some of the stuff that was said was a little hard to accept, and I will start the whole thing off by saying this. I think that, you know, when we're growing up, you know, we're when we're growing up and, you know, we are little girls and we're teenagers, and, you know, some of us, we went to college and we have this identity, and we spend all this time creating this identity for ourselves, this independent person who can finally take care of ourselves. And then to hear that when you get into a marriage, you have to start all over again and create a totally new, you have to get rid of that identity that you worked so hard to cultivate and become this new person in marriage. What did you single ladies think about this?
This is Kamara, and I, you know, up until 2 years ago, I was in a relationship for 17 years. I met this guy, you know, first day of college. I was 18, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. And never wanted to get married, didn't see the need in it. Like, you know, I can be LeBron and Kurt Russell, and it's fine. Like, there's no need for marriage as long as you love the person. And then we broke up, and, you know, Cynthia can attest to this. It's like one day I just had a come to Jesus moment, and I declared to, you know, Cynthia and another friend of ours, I'm getting married and I'm going to have kids. But it's like it happened overnight, you know.
And it was a shock to us. It was a shock. I'll admit it. But go on.
And so I guess not that I have any issues with what was said Sunday. I had just a lot of questions, and I guess two of my questions center around the aspect of unconditional respect. And I understand that when you're in a marriage, you have chosen that mate, you have chosen to marry him, blah, 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 blah. But as a single person dating, you know, unconditional respect, I'm scoffing at that because respect is earned. And that's just my first point. And then, you know, I'm hearing a lot about submission, and I guess I'm not comfortable with that word.
Wait, because you're breaking up just a little bit. You're hearing about what and you're not comfortable with it?
Submission.
Submission. Okay, go on.
And that word. And so I'm trying to think of a different word that still implies the same type of action without saying we're submissive or I'm submissive. And so those are my you know, I still got out of the car on Sunday and was like, y'all crazy. I don't, you know.
She's telling the truth. When we started talking about that unconditional respect, she was like, y'all are out of your mind. Let me go upstairs and hug my dog and y'all have a good night.
Pretty much. And then, you know, I feel like this is out of that book, Pray Love. You know, I literally, like, pray to God, you know, and that's not who I am. I'm spiritual, but I'm not a religious person. And so all of this is just new to me, mm-hmm. you know. So those are just two things that I walked away with, questions that I will continue to press upon people, my friends.
Can I speak to that, Cynthia? Deidre, take the carpet, Deidre. You got this.
Tamara, I understand where you are coming from because I was there at one time. As I stated, I've been on this journey for 15 years, and I was raised by a mother who it was strictly independence. Like, you don't listen to no man, you know, and all of that. But it was like my mind had to be renewed. It had to be reconditioned. I had to do what thus saith the Lord. And when I honor my husband, I'm doing what God told me to do. So it's whatever you feed. If I feed the flesh, I'm going to be in the flesh. But if I feed the spirit, I'm going to be in the spirit. And that's why I just always try to feed the spirit, because I already know what my flesh can do. When Cynthia said what her tongue would do, I made a sigh because I was there. So I understand, and I kind of understand where you're coming from. But if you depend wholeheartedly on the Lord, like God has been there, God is a faithful friend. God will always be there. So if I respect my husband, and it's not so much because of who my husband is, it's because of who God is, and my husband is serving God. So if my husband is serving God, the Jesus in me and the Jesus in him should be able to get along. And and they do get along, but sometimes I'll be wanting to say something, but I don't, for the reverence of the Lord and the respect. Like, I give my husband respect because he earns it. But even if he didn't earn it, God told me to do it. And God takes care of them birds out there. He takes care of everything. So if he can take care of birds, I know he can take care of me. God has proven himself over and over and over to me. So I struggled with that in the beginning to submit it, but it's not as bad as people think. I'm being perfectly honest. It's not, especially when your husband is following Christ. It's easy to submit.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, I want
to. I have something Deidre say.
Who's this?
This is Alisa.
Alisa. Go for it, Alisa.
I agree with what Deidre said about the fact that my husband is a God-fearing man, and that he is trying to be the best person that God intended him to be. Now, it's in that he gets all of my respect, because if he was a different person, if he was somebody who, you know, wasn't trying to be the person that God intended him to be, if he was somebody who was disrespectful to me, if he used foul language when speaking to me, if he was abusive, if those kind of things existed in our relationship, then, yeah, quite frankly, he could not get my respect, whether he was my husband or not, because in my eyes, he would not be the man that God intended him to be. But because he is, you know, walking towards being, and he's genuinely trying, you know, to be what God intended him to be. He wants to be a good man. He wants to be the person who's respected. He wants to be the head of the household, and he wants, you know, to be able to say something and have me, you know, respect what it is he said and his thoughts and his feelings around certain things. But it's mutual. And that's the thing that I think a lot of people have to understand, that, you know, you just by virtue of being married, you know, I don't believe, and this is just me, I don't believe just by virtue of being married that all men, you know, you have to respect. I think that he has to be a respectable man to begin with. Mm-hmm. There has to be something about him that, you know, is worth respecting, and that, and to me that's real. So as a single woman, you know, I was a strong single woman. You know, I was raised by a strong black woman who, you know, raised three kids. You know, we never wanted for anything. We had the best of everything. So really, I didn't have any examples of what it was supposed to be, how I was supposed to be as a wife. All I knew how to be was a strong black woman. I knew how to take care of my daughter. I knew how to pay my bills. I knew how to get a house, a home, you know, a good job, educated. I knew how to do all of those things. But quite frankly, I didn't know how to be married.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Now, I just saw her right there. Now, hold on, because I need to say this very quickly. Nobody's going to get kicked off. Just give me 1 second to tell people that, believe it or not, the hour has come and gone. But we're going to continue this conversation anyway. For those of you who are on the line, you will not get cut off. You will be able to hear the rest of the conversation. For those who are listening via internet, they can no longer hear us, but you can listen to the archives. I know when they come back and listen to this again, they're going to be like, oh, man, you know. And I should have given the warning. I'm so sorry I did not give the warning. But we're going to just go ahead and continue this conversation because it is getting good, like it always does at the end of the hour.
All right.
This is Stephanie. And my comment to her, the young lady, I think it was Kamara.
Yes.
When you were talking about the word submission, let me just share just a little bit of my testimony. Okay. I came from a generation of women who I was taught, you're independent, you take care of yourself. That's it. They never spoke about how you were to be as far as marriage, being a wife, and that kind of thing. The first time I was married to a minister. And I learned how to be a wife in the church. I was determined that I was going to be this Proverbs 31 woman. And, you know, I went to women's ministry. I was involved in anything you could think of. I was submerged in the word. I was that girl. And it took a process because I had a mouth on me. I was, you know, because I was taught nobody walks over you. You know, you're large and in charge. And it took a long time for me to become a submissive woman. But and it was even more difficult because he used the word to control, to be this controlling person and force in my life. So the reason why things didn't go the way they were supposed to go, because he used what he knew about the word to control me instead of following what God said to do so that I could follow him. So
right,
that caused a lot of discord. And so what happened, I was continuing to do what I was supposed to do all the way up until the day the marriage ended, because God wasn't going to hold me accountable for what he did. He was going to hold me accountable for what I did. Mm-hmm. And so I just want to say to you, the word submission, don't view it as a word of meaning you're going to be weak. Because actually, it takes a quite strong woman to be submissive and still maintain.
Amen.
So to walk away, it took a good five years to heal from that and to move forward and then to trust God enough to work my life out and do the things that he needed to do. And I never stopped being who I was supposed to be or who God called me to be, regardless of how he was acting, because I knew that when it was time for me to talk to God about my life, he's not going to say, well, what did such and such do? He's going to say, well, what did you do? Did you follow what my word told you to do? So when it comes to being submission, it's just what Deidre said. First, you have to have your mind renewed, and you have to be able to submit to God first, or you're not going to be able to follow the word enough to be submissive to a spouse, because they're not perfect. They're going to fall. They're going to make mistakes, and you still have to be unconditional, and you still have to walk in your role as a godly wife, and that takes time, and you have to be prepared for that role. So how God prepares you is he deals with you while you're in your singleness.
Right.
So the art of submission has to come to God first, submitting your life first to him, and then you already have the makeup of how to be submissive in the role of a wife. So don't view it as a weakness. View it as a very controlled and poised strength.
Okay, wait, hold on, everybody. Wait. Because there's still someone who's on hold. I'm going to bring her back in. You don't have to really speak right now because Audrey's got the floor. But the telephone number ending in 9744, I'm bringing you back into the conversation. Audrey,
oh, Jocelyn.
Okay. Oh, what happened? How did Jocelyn get down there? Anyway.
well, my phone cut off some kind of way from
you. Oh, okay. So Audrey has the floor. I got to tell you, ladies, that I'm loving this conversation because as single women, what this conference did by improving couples gives single women an image to look forward to.
Yes, absolutely.
So, Audrey, you've got the floor.
One of the things my grandmother always said to me, and it was just very simple, she said, do your part.
Right.
So it's whatever your role is, and understanding the fullness of that role. And the other piece of that is, you know, we're talking about being a wife from a Christian or a religious, or no, from a spiritual perspective. Let's not, you know, we're really looking at what the Bible says we are to be and a modern day interpretation of what a wife is. So it's not the wife of the world to say. Right, it's a different kind of defining, and once you accept that particular definition, it's walking in that definition regardless of what the other person does. Now, that doesn't allow the other person to abuse you because there's built into that some stuff that helps you deal with that.
Right.
You know, I mean, there's the whole piece of prayer. There's a whole thing of around you know having community of having. The older women, you know, your Titus II sister who's going to be able to help you through certain things because she's been there, done that.
Yeah.
So it really is about accepting the definition of what that is and
okay.
then walking out that definition.
Okay.
All right. Now, I just want to stop and let you ladies know that I'm getting all of y'all around the table with a video camera so we can have this conversation again. So at some point, y'all need to get ready because we're going to have this conversation on video with single ladies, married ladies, remarried ladies, and unfianced ladies so that we can express exactly how we feel about these situations because it is a conversation that needs to be had. It is a conversation that needs to be heard. And like I said, I'm so grateful to Jocelyn and Deirdre for... for creating this expo where couples can get together so that they can not only improve their outer image but their inner selves and their entire marriage so that the single ladies who are either looking to get married or not looking to get married because they don't like what they see have a chance to have a little hope and faith that there are gentlemen out here who are willing to work on a marriage, who do want to be married. I might have to bring Eric back in for this one. Eric, are you there?
No, he went to bed. Sorry.
It's okay. But, I mean, it's such a beautiful thing to know that there are, A, happily married women that we can come to ask questions and to be that image of a couple that and say, listen, let me just tell you the truth about this thing. This thing is work. And it's a lot of work on myself. I was busy trying to work on him, but it turned out I was supposed to be working on me. So
I think that's the difference. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm,
I really, and this is Audrey. I think maybe that's the difference between a marriage in the world and a marriage in Christ,
right.
Mm-hmm. Where in Christ we know that we're working on ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the world we're trying to fix him because, you know, you're going to do what I say do. But in Christ we know we've got to work on us,
mm-hmm.
You know, because the Bible says we have to live it so that he looks at you're an example.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We have to live in such a way that he wants to be that thing.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got to work on us. If that's how we impact his behavior, it's not by telling him what to do and manipulating him into behavior, but it's how we live in front of him.
Right. I think Gail Crowder was the one who said that she was changing herself so gradually that everything that she was doing made her husband want to come home.
Right.
That she lived her life in a way that her husband was always in a rush to get home. He was happy to get home to his wife. He always wanted to talk to his wife once she started working on certain aspects of herself.
And she had enough confidence in God. Her relationship with God was so powerful that she sent her husband away by himself. I ain't there yet. But that's what she did.
I love it. I love it.
But it's a blessing to be able to hear a sister say that that's what she was able to do and not say, well, what happened or whatever. It was just that she wanted her husband to relax because he was going so hard for the family. And when you're in touch and in tune with the Lord, I'm telling you, men of God, when they walk in with the Lord, the sky is the limit.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Well, this is Audrey. I know a sister who, I mean, this is a bit of a twist on it because it's more the family aspect, but she says each year she sends each one of her children on a trip with their father.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Oh, wow.
She purposes sending each one of them on a trip with daddy by themselves. Go. She pays for the ticket the whole night. She packs the bag and she says, get out.
Wow.
You know, so there's something to that. You know, there's something to that. I'm not there yet either, though.
No, I hear you. I hear you because sometimes it's definitely a process. And then to that note, we would actually have to get into the conversation of how to choose a husband because some of us didn't have those conversations on how to choose.
Yep.
And then the person that we chose ended up making us working a lot harder within that marriage because we did not choose wisely or did not
that's
know.
Just it. You're not supposed to choose.
Right.
That was fine. That was
fine.
Yeah. Yeah. Slow down, ladies. Now introduce you. Yeah, okay, go ahead, Jocelyn.
And I was just thinking, I often hear it in my mind that anything with two heads is a monster. So somebody's going to have to come under. And I know that the wife is supposed to be the umbrella, like an umbrella to her husband, to hold him up and to build him up so that he can be the virtuous man. So, and once, you know, if you know your role as a wife, and even in the Bible, there's only two places where God assigns a helpmate. In the covenant between the husband and the wife is the husband's helpmate. So I think if you're studying and showing yourself to be, you know, reading your word and understanding the role and out of reverence and respect for God, if you're saying, I want to walk in the role that God has for me, then I think that helps me because I know I came from a strong single mother, so it's not easy, and I'm still learning every day, but I just think about it. Anything with two heads is a monster, and I don't want to be a monster in my house. I want to come under my husband, you know.
Amen.
But I remember having a conversation with my husband, like, I want to follow you, but you have to lead me, and I think, you know, we prayed about that, so and we're walking in that purpose. So I just wanted to comment on that when I heard you say, you know, it's hard to submit. You know, our responsibility as a wife is to create that help, to create that husband too, to pray. If it's areas that he's lacking in, we need to pray for him in those areas. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And prayer works. I know it sounds
good,
but you know what I mean? It's cliche.
Well, you know what, married ladies, I mean, is it? Do you pray with your husbands? Is it something that you do on a daily basis?
Yes, it's important. Yes, it's important. I pray over my husband. I pray over my household, you know. But I think you just can't think like it. It sounds cliche. You just have to really believe and trust in God and walk in your purpose as a wife.
It's nothing more powerful than when you lock hands with your husband and he prays out loud for your relationship, your household, and your family. Because it's at that time that if there's anything that's heavy on his heart, if there's anything that he's struggling with and he's praying about it and he's praying about it out loud, it almost helps you to understand him more.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So, ladies,
wow.
This is Audrey. My relationship is not there yet. My husband believes in God and loves God, but I swear he thinks I'm the only one that can talk to him. So, you know, we can lock hands, but he waits for me to start.
Let me tell you something. Prayer changes things. And this is book. I'm sure everybody know about it. The Power of a Praying Wife.
Mm-hmm. Girl, I'm having 2 copies.
Don't be on Martian, yes.
Don't stop talking now. Don't stop talking now. You talked about The Power of Praying Wife is a book that wives can go to. And speaking of which, I wish that we had, I think her name is Sherelle on. She owned the bookstore.
CLC.
Yes, that she was on so that she could recommend a couple of books or a few books for people to purchase and read on about themselves. Because everything that you ladies are saying, I remember a long time ago, and I always say it to my friends as well, it was said that there's only 2 reasons to do anything, and it's either love or fear. And when you do things out of fear, you create a mess, you know. But when you do things completely out of love, there has to be trust, there has to be faith, and, you know, there has to be a movement forward, and there has to be multiplication, because whatever love touches has to multiply. So I really just, you know, I have to thank you ladies for being on tonight. We're going on 1.5 hours now. This is going to be something. I don't know what to say about this. But but it always
Can I just say one thing that has helped me?
Who's speaking?
We're not out of time.
No, we're not out of time.
I was sitting on it, but from the conference when we went to Gale.
Who is it?
This is Jocelyn. I'm sorry, Dee.
Okay, go for it, Jocelyn.
This is Jocelyn. Okay. But when we went to the Bringing Sexy Back conference, there was a speaker there, and she gave a tip for wives who were struggling with submission. So she said that we should strategically place duct tape throughout the house and just use it so that, like, if we're ready to go toe-to-toe with our spouse, just take a look at that duct tape to think about, you know, maybe I don't need to say that. Maybe I don't need to be so aggressive in this area. Maybe I need to, you know, just be quiet and pray about the situation instead of being boisterous. Because and I really use that because I know, like I said, I'm from a single parent and I come from a strong-willed mother. So I had to actually use that. And throughout my house, my husband didn't know why it was duct tape placed around. And she even said, just, you know, jokingly, like some of us might actually have to use it to start out, but I just thought like that really helped me. Even though they was comical and everybody laughed while we were at the conference, it really helped me in my own person to say sometimes everything doesn't have to be said. We don't have to, you know, go toe to toe on every issue. Take it to God.
I think that I would be too afraid that somebody might walk in and find my husband bound and gagged with duct tape around his wrist, you know. So I'm going to leave random duct tape, you know, laying around and on walls for me to get to so quickly because I don't think I would be ready for it. Everybody's not ready for the duct tape, you know, tip. So I commend you, Jocelyn, for not pulling that duct tape on and hog tying somebody. And
I thought about it, but then you come on. I'm like, is that virtuous? I don't think that's virtuous. You have
All right, ladies. I can't tell you how much I enjoyed this conversation. I am inviting each one of you back to continue this talk, and you know, I'm going to be lining up speakers every Wednesday. I definitely want you guys to call in and share some of your experiences and everything. I can't wait to see you guys again.
This was really awesome.
Really, it was. Thank you. I'm more than certain that people who will be listening to this podcast are going to be helped in one way or another. And they're going to be looking forward to the Next Love Expo. Ladies, why don't you tell me when the Next Love Expo is going to be? Same time next year?
Prayerfully, yeah.
Okay, because we're definitely going to be looking forward to doing this again. I'm going to say good night to Jocelyn and Deirdre. Thank you so much again for having us at your event and for coming on tonight and talking about it.
Thank you.
Oh, anytime, anytime. And to my road warriors, Audrey and Kamara.
Hey, hey.
I want to say thank you to you ladies for being a part of it, for being there with me to support me for that, and for opening up and having those conversations. You know, it feels really good to have that sisterhood.
Thank you for your support.
Amen.
So I'm going to
Cynthia, I just want to thank you for always reaching out, always trying to bring a medium to whatever the situation is. Mm-hmm. And also how you just came to Philly. You know, you and your girlfriends, y'all just got in the car and y'all came because you guys saw the need. So we thank you so much for always being such a big support.
Oh, anytime. To our listeners, those that are still on and those who are going to listen to this later because they got cut off, we want to thank you for your support. We want to thank you for all of your positive comments and everything. And we just want to remind you to visit bridaltribe.com, to go through our archives and listen to some other wisdom that other couples and associations are willing to share with you. We will be back with more of this. We are a company about love, beauty, marriage, and wedding fun. Please remember that we are devoted to love. Have a good night. We love you.